Welcome to Torah Teimecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Chana Meira Katz, and today we'll be studying Sefer Tehillim, Perek Tzadi Zayin 97. We're continuing with our theme of Kabbalah Shabbos. Mizmor 97 is part B of the first theme of Shabbos, which is Hashem is the creator of the universe, and it's also a continuation of the Mizmor we did yesterday, 96. So yesterday we discussed the concept of all of mankind and all of nature praising and worshipping Hashem, and now we explore the same concept in the reverse. We focus on the progression from nature to mankind, to righteous people, and we explore how the world will recognize Hashem when he brings judgment. And we're going to explore the mixed feelings of joy and trepidation. And finally, we will discuss how the time of being ambivalent about evil is over and everyone needs to take a stand. Rabbi Samet explains that 96 is the invitation to come and sing, and that's why we said it has the praise format of an invitation and a rationale. But 97 is the actual song, which is why we're going to see that it's part third person, part second person. And this is the song of praise. Rav Amos Chacham divides this perek into three sections. 1 to 6 is the universal praise at the revelation of the kingdom of Hashem. 7 to 9 is the humiliation of those who worship idols, contrasted with the joy of those who serve Hashem. And 10 to 12, those who love Hashem hate evil, and the righteous rejoice with Hashem. So let's go section by section. Our first one is universal praise at the revelation of Hashem. We start. Hashem Malach, Tagel Haaretz Yismachu Yim Rabim. Hashem Malach is present continuous. When the nations of the world recognize that Hashem is the ruler behind nature, they will reflect on the past and realize Hashem has always been ruling. They just didn't realize it. Tagel Haaretz and the whole land will rejoice. Yismachu Yim Rabim, even the far-flung islands are going to rejoice. I want to point out that one of the ways this perek is linked to the perek before is with something called a chiastic structure, which is just a nerdy way of saying a butterfly shape of connecting two pieces of text. So if you can imagine a butterfly wing with the outermost part reflecting and then the shortest part in the middle, so two opposite sides reflecting each other. So we have the triangle shape in 96 and the triangle shape in 97, and the two of them together connect to one central pasuk, and this gives us a theme. So if we compare jumping back and forth between 96 and 97, in 96 it says Hishtachavu Lashem, bow to Hashem. In our perek it says Hishtachavu Lo, bow to him. In 96 it says Chilu Mipanav Kol Haaretz, let the whole earth tremble before him. In our perek it says V'tachel Haaretz, the earth trembles. In 96 it says Yismachu Hashemayim V'tagel Haaretz, let the heavens be happy and the earth rejoice. And in our perek we start off Hashem Malach Tagel Haaretz Yismachu Yim Rabim, the world rejoices and all the islands are happy. And what is the central of our butterfly? The central of our butterfly is Kiva Lishpot Haaretz Yishpot Tevel Betzedek V'amim Be'munato, because Hashem is coming to judge the earth. He's judging all the inhabitants with righteousness and with faithfulness. So everyone is rejoicing, but also a little bit scared because Hashem's judgment is coming. Until now, we have been troubled why the wicked have flourished and the righteous have suffered. But now at the end of days, when Hashem executes his final judgment, everyone will recognize his power and understand retroactively the reasons behind all the events of the past. Pay attention also to the progression of the spread of knowledge of Hashem. In the perek before, we said Yishpat Tevel B'tzedek. Hashem will only judge the highly populated parts of the world. In this pasuk, we start off Hashem Malach Tegel Haaretz, the whole land will rejoice, and then we continue even Yismachuyim, the far-flung islands, are even going to know about Hashem. So Hashem's knowledge spreads from the most populated places to the entire world to even the far-flung islands. In pasuk bet, we say Anan va'arafel sevivav tzedek u'mishpat machon kiso. Dense clouds are around him. Righteousness and justice are the base of his throne. Rabbeinu Bache explains that the purpose of the thick cloud is to obstruct Hashem's presence from those not on the level to perceive him. This is part of the progression, because later on in the perek we're going to see that everyone recognizes him even without his thick cloud. The Sforna explains that the dark clouds represent how Hashem's constant supervision in the world is clouded by the laws of nature that seem to operate independently. However, recognition of Hashem brings a mixture of joy and fear. Listen to the play on words. In Pasuk Aleph, we say Tagel Haaretz, the world rejoices. And in Pasuk Dalet, we say Tachel Haaretz, the earth trembles. We all want justice, but when Hashem reveals his power, it will be terrifying. The Sforna explains that the righteous who are confident before Hashem rejoice, whereas the wicked will tremble. Some commentaries interpret the next section of Psukim as Hashem coming to the defense of the Jews in the apocalyptic war of Gog and Magog. So we're still in the section talking about Hashem showing his might, but Hashem is showing his might when he comes to rescue us in the war at the end of time, and nature is depicted as a destructive force. So let's read the next three Psukim. Esh lefanav telech uslahet saviv tzarav. Fire goes before him and consumes his enemies on every front. He'iru brakav tevel ra'asa v'tachel ha'aretz. His lightning bolts will light up the world, the earth will see and tremble. Harim kadanag namasu milifnei Hashem, milifnei Adon kol ha'aretz. Mountains melt like wax before Hashem, before the master of the whole earth. So either we're going to look at it that these aspects of nature are metaphorical. For example, the melting mountains might refer to the great, seemingly indestructible powers of the world who now disintegrate before Hashem. I'm dating myself over here, but I was just entering high school at the fall of the Berlin Wall. And my entire childhood, we'd been learning and singing about the poor refuseniks in communist Russia and how would they ever get out. And the communists were so powerful. And then overnight, we were watching people with pickaxes breaking down the wall. That's what's going to be at the end of time. These huge, seemingly powerful empires are just going to crumble. Alternatively, it means nature literally, and it's talking about the real and terrible plagues that Hashem will unleash to those who come to attack the Jewish people. We see this discussed in Yechezkel. When Yechezkel talks about the war of Gog and Magog, he says, V'nishpatati ito bedever uvadam uvageshem shotef v'avnei el gavish. I will punish him with pestilence and bloodshed, and I will pour torrential rain, hailstones, and sulphurous fires upon him. Carries on, V'hit kadalti v'hit kadashti v'nodati le'nei goyim. This way I will show my greatness and my holiness, and I'll be known before all the non-Jews. So we're discussing something similar over here. Hashem is going to unleash the forces of nature. He's going to bring terrible plagues, and this will elevate him. Everyone will know his power, and this will lead to increased holiness in the world. The actual increased holiness is the theme that we're going to come to in a few prakim tam. So these plagues will be so dramatic that in comparison, the plagues of Egypt are going to seem like nothing. And this is the rationale behind some of the Midrashim that discuss in the time of Mashiach, the Chagim, the Yom Tovim that we know today will be abolished. So in the Perek before, nature was used poetically to praise Hashem. Singing fields and happy trees and all rainbows and unicorns. In this Perek, the imagery of nature is terrifying as Hashem uses the forces of nature to bring justice to the world. And this segues into the next section of the Mizmor, which is the humiliation of those who worship other powers. So as the world collapses, people will realize that everything they previously held in esteem is worthless. And when Hashem demonstrates his complete mastery over nature, people will realize that the forces they served until now were only servants of Hashem. As the pasuk continues, Yevoshu kol avde pesel, hamizalilim be'elilim. They will be dismayed as they see their powers submit to Hashem. As the Gemara Yerushalmi in Avodah Zarah teaches, in the future the idols will bow before Hashem, and then those who worship them will realize the truth and also bow before Hashem. Notice the progression over the last three prakim from 95 to 97 of the world coming to terms with Hashem as the Almighty ruler and the uselessness of their idols. First we say in 95, Kikal gadol Hashem o melech gadol al kol alehim. Hashem is the greatest God. He's greater than all the other divine beings, but people are still respecting the other beings. In 96 we say, Hashem is great and very acclaimed. Norahu al kol Elohim. He's held in awe by the other divine beings, but people are still attributing power to the divine beings. Then we say people are starting to realize in 96, kol Elohei amim elilim, that all those powers that nations worship are useless. V'Hashem shamay masa, but Hashem still keeps nature functioning. He hasn't done anything to discredit nature. But in our Perek 97, finally, Yevoshu kol avdei pesel, hamisalelim ba'elilim. Both groups, those who worshipped idols, those who worshipped nature, they're all going to realize the worthlessness of their attributing power to these beings. And they're all unanimously, nature and idols, going to submit before Hashem. And this is going to lead the people to also submit before Hashem. And again, this interconnectedness reveals how these three chapters are all part of a cohesive unit, which is progressively developing the theme of the world's acceptance of Hashem. This progression directly connects to our first theme of Shabbos, the universal recognition that Hashem creates the world, He actively runs the world, and He holds dominion over nature. Consequently, the understanding that nature possesses no independent power will lead all of humanity to worship Him. So this next verse expresses the joy of the Jewish people, and it says, Shim'a v'tismach Tzion v'tagelna benot Yehuda leman mishpatecha Hashem. Tzion will hear this and be happy. The daughters of Yehuda will rejoice on account of your justice, Hashem. So we can take it in two ways. Either Tzion means Jerusalem and Benot Yehuda means the nearby cities of Yehuda. And this is the land of Israel rejoicing when the Jewish people return, regain autonomy of their land, and are able to rebuild the Beit HaMikdash. However, if we're understanding this perek as talking about the war of Gog Umagog, a time when the terrifying natural forces will bring destruction and defeat the enemies of the Jewish people, then this verse describes the immense joy of the Jewish people. Remember, we said in last perek that the Jews thank Hashem for Yeshuato, His salvation, not Niflato, the miracles. So we're thanking Hashem for these awesome miracles that are there to save us. Ki ata Hashem Elyon al kol haaretz. For you, Hashem, are supreme over the earth. Doesn't this have an echo of our perek Yoshev Beseter, right? Al kol haaretz, over all the land. Ma'od na'aleta al kol Elohim. You are exalted. You are very above all divine things. Everyone can now recognize Hashem. He's no longer clouded in nature. Everyone can see Him, realize He's come to rescue the Jews, and now they have to pick a side. Are you on the side of good or the side of evil? It's very clear for everyone to see. And section 3 goes straight into the light for the righteous. So we started off with the universe, nature. We've progressed to the nations of the world, climaxing with the righteous people praising Hashem that the long-awaited Geula has arrived. So this last part of the perek discusses the tzaddik, who by nature of his love of Hashem, and because he hates evil, will be guarded and saved from the enemy. Let's read inside. Ohave Hashem sinura. Those who love Hashem hate evil. Shomer nashav chasidav. Hashem guards the souls of His righteous ones. Miyad rishayim yatzileim. And He saves them from the hands of the wicked. Meaning, first, we have to take a stand. There's no ambivalence. There's no you do you, I do me. The definition of loving Hashem is hating evil. We have that in a different parak of Tehillim. We say, sur meira, turn away from evil, va'aseh tov. That's not, and do good. It's not just enough to be a good person. You also have to hate evil. And then Hashem protects the soul of those who hate evil. Hate is generally a negative character trait. It brings out the worst in us. It sort of eats at us. There's all sorts of illnesses that come from harboring hatred inside of yourself. And the Torah itself says you shouldn't hate. But this isn't hating people. This is hating evil. And when we hate the evil that is in the world, Hashem protects our soul that it doesn't cause any negative effect on us. Or zarua latzadik uliyishrelev simcha. Light is sown, like planted, for the tzaddik, and the upright of heart will rejoice. What is the difference between a tzaddik and a yishrelev? Tzaddik is righteous before God. That's why it's written in the singular. And the yishrelev is, he worships God by being kind to human beings. His kindness extends to many people. That's why it's yishre in the plural. He will have simcha. The or, the light that the tzaddik has, is a spiritual reward. Since the tzaddik connects to Hashem spiritually, his reward is in the next world, which is all spiritual. Whereas the yishrelev, the person who improves the lot of people in this world, he has joy in this world and the next world. What is this light that is planted for the tzaddikim? So, in the beginning of time, when Hashem made the world, Hashem created light, and then He saw that that light was so powerful, He was worried it would be misused for evil, and He put it away, and on day 4, He made the sun and the moon and the stars. At the end of time, when only the good people remain, when evil is eradicated, Hashem will once again bring out that light from the 6 days of creation. So we see the completion of the arc of our theme. Our first theme is Hashem made the world in 6 days. The first thing that Hashem created was light. And at the end of time, Hashem will bring that light back for the righteous people to enjoy. So as a final summary of this unit from 95 to 97, we start off in the beginning, L'chun ranana la Hashem. We invite everyone to come and sing and praise Hashem. And we end with the instruction to praise Hashem's holy name, V'hodu l'zecher kodesho. That's how we end 97, and we established the basic idea that all of creation, from the non-living to human beings, ultimately acknowledge and respond to Hashem's power, which is a key idea behind observing Shabbos. Tomorrow, we're going to begin the second theme of Shabbos, which is exploring the deep connection between Hashem and the Jewish people. Thank you for studying Le'ilu Nishmat Helen Moskowitz and Fanny Lehman. Their legendary kindness supported hundreds of World War II Shaarit HaPleita. Their profound connection to Tehillim is inspirational to this day. Sponsored by their grandchildren, Yitzhak and Bobby Lehman Siegel.